Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Read Between the Tracks. My name is Caitlin Cromley Lynn, and I am here with my very good friend and co-host, Jeffrey Edelstein.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. So today, in honor of Jeffrey's birthday, which is coming up very soon.
Or maybe in the past, depending on our release schedule.
Yep, or maybe in the past, depending on our release schedule. We are going to do Carly Rae Jepsen's wonderful, beautiful, amazing, pop-tastic album, Emotion.
This is, I think I'm going to say, my second favorite album of all time. I don't really like to rank things that way, but I love this album so much. It is a part of my soul. It is a part of my who I am. It's one of those albums that just like, you know, when it arrived, I was like, oh, this is for me. This is... like, voice is a part of myself.
That's such a great sentiment.
Yeah. So I just love this album so much. And, you know, I say that every single episode. Every single episode, I'm like, I love this album so much.
No, but this one's special.
This one is so special. This is like a really intimate view into like my love of music. I'll give you guys a little bit of background on this album. So this is Carly Rae Jepsen's third album. The album immediately before this was Kiss, and that album had her big hit single, Call Me Maybe, with the great music video of like a guy washing a car and her finding out he's gay in the end. That was a big deal when we were in college. This was the follow-up album that came a few years later. Carly basically took off time from touring and from promoting Kiss. She did a little stint on Broadway in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella with Fran Drescher. And she dedicated a lot of time to developing her next album, which resulted in Emotion. This album is a very, very tight 12 from a list of, as she said in a few different interviews, somewhere between like 35 and 50 songs that she wrote for this album. Some of those songs ended up on Emotion Side B, a subsequent EP that came out in 2016. We'll save that for another episode, but there are a lot of bonus tracks that we'll get to at the end of the episode. This album was 2015's big hit. It was covered so much. This album was really everywhere, but it was also a little underground. It was kind of like the indie pop album of its time. We didn't see like Carly at the VMAs. We didn't see her, you know, performing to gigantic audiences, but everyone knew where this album was coming from and knew what this album was. It's a big deal. These songs are not like the songs you always know from 2015, but everyone knows at least one of these songs.
Right.
It is a ubiquitous album.
I was just going to say, my journey with this album, anyone who knows me knows I'm super into Taylor Swift. She is my girl with a capital M J, my girl. And I am on the Taylor Swift subreddit on Reddit and participate in that. Whatever, judge me, that's fine. I do my own thing. And a lot of the Swifties on there are like, if you like 1989, you will like Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion. And I gave that a try. I had only known I Really Like You, which was her big hit off this album. And it is pop perfection. Like, the fact that this was not on like 1989 tier level is a sin to me. I don't know like where I don't want to say it failed, because it's a perfect album.
It was a popular album too. It was far from failure.
I just don't think it got the same hype. I don't know.
Yeah. And here's the thing. This album is technically brilliant. It has some really great producers working on it. It has some really great co-writers and musicians on it. And really, like, the attitude that Carly sort of had at the time, or talked about in her interviews from the time, was She just wanted to make a really, really good album, song by song, and a really good composition, which is something that, like, on this show we talk about a lot, the arrangement of songs on tracks. We talked about that on the first two episodes with Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Right.
And we commented a lot. And this is an album where Carly says in, like, multiple interviews, I cared a lot about where the tracks landed. And I cared about a lot about how things are arranged. And I cared a lot about which songs made it on the album. And so the feedback that this album got from all the big, like, critics was technically brilliant. Like, her mastery of writing music is just really, really impressive. And the freedom she took to just explore the pop genre, she really tackles this in a very similar way as Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, who we know loves pop more than anything else, Carly comes from that same idea of, I love pop. Where Gaga explores sort of the performance of pop, Carly explores the musicality of pop.
Exactly.
Which I think is really interesting. I think lyrically, Carly is also pretty sophisticated. Like, she uses a lot of imagery and a lot of literary stuff that we like to talk about on this podcast. And then really, the reason why I love her and love this album so much is, like, she's so down to earth. Like, every single interview, she's very humble. She talks about the music. She's pretty chill. I mean, when I listen to her albums, this one, Emotion Side B, Kiss, and then her most recent albums, Dedicated and Dedicated Side B, I feel like I'm talking to you. I feel like I'm talking to my best friend, and I'm listening to my best friend counsel me. That's like the intimacy that I get out of her music, and I love it so much.
Yeah. The other thing I just wanted to touch on briefly is the amount of pressure that she was under to follow up with Call Me Maybe. And there was she spent trying to make like this perfect album to follow up the extreme buzz and success that Call Me Maybe had the pressure was just crazy. And she felt like, for a while, she's like, it's impossible. I don't think I can do it again. And
right. She talked about that pressure as, you know, I'm never going to top it. So I might as well just do whatever I want.
Right.
And that's where we got Emotion.
Right.
Is she already had this great start. I mean, this was every interviewer I watched asked her this question. How were you going to top Call Me Maybe? And she kind of just said, well, I wasn't going to, and I didn't. I mean, I would make the argument that, like, Call Me Maybe was like the big hit that got her out there and really catapulted her.
I don't even want to say that was peak Carly Rae, because I think this whole album is peak Carly Rae at her best.
I'm not going to say
Okay, fine. I know you're not going to say
a peak for her.
No, that's fair.
Dedicated and Dedicated Side B were also excellent albums, her two most recent albums.
I just always go back to this one.
She's recording now.
I know she's recording
now. But this one is... My argument here is going to be about ranking her albums, if we're going to do that, is her first album was like, you know, just like it was kind of like what we were talking about with Michelle Branch's Broken Bracelet. Like, it was really like the I'm here, I exist, here's some of my songs album.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Tug of War really was in 2008. But Kiss was this, like, is a lot like Spirit Room. It's this explosion. You get a lot of really good songs, and they become really popular. Emotion, to me, I guess it's like Hotel Paper. We could say that. Emotion, for me, is like, this is the proof of concept album. This is the proof that Carly Rae Jepsen is a hardworking musician. And this is the concept, quote-unquote, album, where the concept is, I'm going to tell you how I feel about things. You're going to listen to them, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to feel it with me. So I think that's enough intro.
Yeah. I was going to say,
plenty
though,
of intro.
You had said that she had written like 50. I thought it was like over 200 songs for this album.
That's kind of, there's a bit of exaggeration.
Okay.
There. You know, she has said, like, I wrote like 200 songs for it. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration based on the research I did.
Okay.
She does have, this is like the big, like, Carly fan rumor. She talked about, like, how she and the band actually recorded a disco album.
Oh my God.
Of about 12 tracks. And the joke is that she buried it in her backyard. She tells that joke all the time. And like every now and then she and her band, who's been with her since Kiss, will like play it for laughs for each other. But every fan wants to hear this. I think we get a glimpse of that on this album. There's one track that I'm like, this is definitely a disco-y song. But part of the reason why I think we do a lot of intro for her is I always feel like I have to make the argument for her.
Oh, like, 100%.
I always feel like I have to make the argument that like she is actually the music genius of the generation, just like everyone else you expect to be a music genius.
I also...
That she is on the level with everyone else.
Right. I also always forget that she's like older than us. But like
she's a little older.
I thought she was like the same. Isn't she like the same age as like close to the same age as Michelle Branch? I want to say
no.
Am I wrong?
She is not. Okay, then she is like
ignore that. I'll cut
a little
that.
Older than us.
But still, I like her voice doesn't sound like a 30 something. I always think like she's 20 something or 23.
That's because she's 35.
Okay. Well. Okay.
And she was.
Okay. Well, that she's 5 years older. Whatever. Michelle Branch is not
old
even
when she recorded
Michelle
this.
Branch is like 38. That's not that much older.
Anyway,
onward,
Caitlin,
onward.
Ageism.
I'm not. It's not ageism. Anyway, I'll cut all that. Anyway, onward to the track by track analysis. Go.
Okay, so run away with me.
Peak opener
is the first track on
wonderful
this album.
Opener.
This album has such a seductive opening. It starts with a saxophone solo in this triumphant minor key. Everyone who's like heard this album knows that. It's this like really like it's almost like an action movie intro.
I always picture with this like it's like nighttime in the city in the rain at like a club. Like I immediately get that
it's
vibe.
Very vaporware.
Yeah.
And she talked about it as like, you know, we were just playing around in she recorded this in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Because she was very inspired by like by 80s Swedish rock for this album. So she was in Sweden. One of the producers introduced her to Peter Svensson, who is like a big deal guy over there. And they were messing around and the saxophone solo came up and she's like, we're using it. And it becomes this like major theme. And her saxophonist, I've seen her live. I was there at the Dedicated tour. He goes nuts when he plays the song. He's like bouncing around. He gets on the floor and does spins.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's a very intense opener. Let's take a look at the first verse. You're stuck in my head, stuck on my heart, stuck in my body. I want to go get out of here. I'm sick of the party. I'd run away. I'd run away with you. Ooh.
I'm singing this in my head.
You got to say all that you're feeling. Packing a bag, leaving tonight while everyone's sleeping. Let's run away. Let's run away with you. Ooh. Because you make me feel like I could be driving you all night. And I'll find your lips in the streetlights. I want to be there with you. Ooh. Baby, take me to the feeling. I'll be your sinner in secret. When the lights go out, run away with me. Run away with me. Baby, every single minute. I'll be your hero and win it. When the lights go out, run away with me. Run away with me. This song takes off like a rocket.
100%.
It accelerates the listener. So, and she's kind of even, she's a very good singer. Like she's very good at the diction, but even so you can kind of hear her like almost stumbling over the words to get to the next moment.
Yes.
That there's an excitement in the melody and in even in the lyrics of this like connection of sound of this, not really alliteration. What do we call it? That sort of rhythming. It's like, it's not iambic pentameter. It's another rhythm.
I know what you're talking about. And I'm...
Is it trochaic?
Someone's
going to come and take our English degrees
it's
away.
Well, you know what? We're like, what, over 7-8 years out of our English degree? We're
Shh.
It's fine.
I'm not old.
We're not old. We are not old.
We're not old.
We're not old. But anyway, I almost picture this like, it's like she's... speaking like the or singing like the getaway car, like she is the getaway
right.
car, and And right. you have, it starts out very quiet. She's almost whispering as she's singing, right. like in a hushed tone. And then you're right. It absolutely, by the chorus, it explodes. And when this is the kind of album, this song where I like see like lots of colors. Like I see like flashing right. lights. It's very visionary. And I feel like this song starts the foundation that she's establishing here that plays around a lot with fantasy and reality, like what I wish I could do with this person that I like a lot, what I want to do, what I can't do, and plays a lot with those tropes of fantasy and reality. Yeah. And it's just such a great opener.
It's a really good, so like in musical theater you have the overture, which introduces all the musical themes of the musical. Like on a classic musical like Gypsy or Music Man or anything like that, you have this really beautiful overture which introduces the popular songs for the musical. And so I really feel like this does that job, where all of the major themes of this album are in this one song.
Mm-hmm.
And the themes that I want to point out is this sense of two people escaping to be in yes. love, the urgency of the emotion of that moment, and the intensity of crushes and affections,
right?
And the explosion of sound,
right?
And the complexity of feelings being metaphorized as sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a lot of different layers of music in this song, including like how the saxophone is a continuous theme, but it's not a continuous instrument. And really, like, there's almost a moment where there's like a sonic boom on the chorus, baby, leading up to baby. It's like that one word is this explosion of sound. It's so beautifully constructed, and it's so delicately constructed too.
Is the word you were really looking for meter? Is it meter?
Yes,
meter. Thank you. I just meter need, is, it was going to bother is, me.
Carly has a great control of meter in this song.
Okay. So the other thing I wanted to point out is how she continuously puts herself in the role as like the driver, the hero, the person who is going to play this role for her lover, that is, she's not passive, she is active, and she is top tier. I'll be your hero, I'll be your friend, I'll surpass all these levels to get to top tier partner. And
right.
it's this, she puts you in this world where it's just the two of them in this, it's like yes. this fantasy world where no one else matters, nothing else matters except the two of them. And she makes the impossible seem possible. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, sure. Like, I'll run away. Like, that sounds great.
Right. Who doesn't want to run away with her?
Right.
Who doesn't? So verse 3, we have up in the clouds, high as a kite over the city. We never sleep. We never try with you. When you are with me, I want to stay. I want to stay with you. We repeat the pre-chorus and the chorus. And then I just want to read the bridge.
Oh, so good.
It has like sort of a lilt. She kind of lilts it. Hold on to me. I never want to let you go. Over the weekend, we can turn the world to gold.
Another theme.
Hold on to me. I never want to let you go. Over the weekend, we can turn the world to gold. And this idea is that she can do this impossible thing, like make the world a beautiful, wonderful place in a weekend. She's talking about a weekend trip.
Right.
She wants to leave a party and go on a weekend trip and feel amazing. And it's just like this feeling of possibility that you can meet someone at a party and leave and escape into like this brilliant, beautiful world with this person. It's amazing. And then we have the outro is just run away with me. Run away with me. It's this beckoning call. It's this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You know, it's so hard to pick favorites on this album. I think this is my favorite on the album.
Yeah, this is up there as one of mine.
Yeah, it's really hard to pick
favorites. It really album. Is. I go for a lot of her more vulnerable tracks on this album.
Well, to me, this isn't like, I don't know if I get vulnerable from this one, but I do get like, I do, you do get the emotional undertones of like, I want to get out of here. I'm bored, or I'm upset, or I need someone. I also get sort of a little bit of the desperation of, if I don't do this now, I'll never do this.
I get a lot of like, screw it. Let's just go. Let's just go away. Right. Like, whatever.
All of her songs are like Wine in that way, where there's notes and then there's sub notes,
mm-hmm.
where everyone's going to get a little bit out of it differently. It's not so cut and dry like a lot of songs are, where there's not that many interpretations. With her, there's flavors underneath flavors.
So many layers. It's so many layers. And she plays, as you said, so much with sound and lyrics and creates like a setting and a tone, and you could feel it. You're there.
Right. Let's talk about emotion. So here's a note. Someone pronounced the album and the song Emotion, and she said, it's just emotion. I just liked the way it looked on the graphic,
well,
that she wanted to spell it phonetically.
Yeah,
like
she
this.
Broke it up like how it's broken up in the dictionary, like the definition of emotion. But she also says it that way in the chorus, so.
Right. Kind of. She kind of does that.
She does do. She does.
Okay. So this is our title track. This one is really, lyrically, I think it's really well developed. I think it's one of the more lyric intensive tracks on the album and of her collected body. And it's only the second one. Be tormented by me, babe. Wonder, wonder how I do. How's the weather? Am I better? Better now that there's no you. Drink tequila for me, babe. Let it hit you cold and hot. Let your feelings be revealing that you can't forget me. Not a flower on the wall. I am growing 10 feet, 10 feet tall. In your head and I won't stop. Until you forget me, get me not. In your fantasy, dream about me and all that we could do with this emotion. Fantasy, dream about me and all that we could do with this emotion. This emotion, I feel it. This emotion, you feel it. All that we could do with this emotion. I'm going to just keep going with it. Paint a picture for me, boy, where the sky's forever blue. Tell me there is nothing I can't have and nothing you won't do. Toss and turn without me, boy. Let it hit you cold and hot. All my kisses say you'll miss it and you can't forgive me. We repeat the pre-chorus and the chorus. We have a short bridge of, what if I turn the lights down, right down? I feel it. What if I turn the lights right down? You feel it. You and me in the dark right now, I feel it. And then we launch back into In Your Fantasy. Dream about me, and the rest of the chorus. So, you know, my sort of like a surfacey interpretation is that she's like casting a spell on this boy, that there's like this tug and pull between, okay, we're not together, but you're always thinking about me. And I think there's another layer that I really love here, which is not a flower on the wall. I'm growing 10 feet, 10 feet tall.
The flower imagery is so brilliant.
Right.
How she
talk about it.
Yes. So you have the contrast of like the wallflower imagery. She literally is playing off the word wallflower, and
right.
how she I feel like she's coming across, verse one is like slightly passive aggressive, like
right,
let your feelings be revealing that you can't forget me. How's the weather? Like, it seems very passive aggressive, and it goes
right.
into this The passive aggressiveness and the strength that she's emulating continues into the pre-chorus. I'm growing 10 feet, 10 feet tall. So she's not a wallflower. She's very strong, and she's strong. I guess like she's saying that she's strong without him as much as she wants him, but she's putting her strength into like manifesting this want that he has for her.
Right.
And then on top of that, she ends it with her power and her strength, and saying, playing off the forget me not flower, until you forget me, get me not. So there is that sense of like witchiness and spells and strength that she's like,
right,
like manifesting.
Yeah. I will say, like, to me, there's sort of a twist in the pre-chorus, that this whole first verse is sort of, as you said, passive aggressive, and she's kind of saying like, let your feelings be revealing that you can't forget me, and we have that really nice poetic moment. You can't forget me, not, you're not going to forget mm-hmm. me. And I'm also not a flower on the wall. So to me, there's a little bit of history there in that little like poetic moment.
Yes.
That's sort of, I guess we'll call that a line break.
Yes.
Where it's maybe this character, maybe she was a flower on the wall in that relationship, but she's not. And she's grown from the relationship.
That's a great, 10 yeah.
feet, 10 feet tall in your head. And I won't stop. And really, she's not saying that she's going to keep going after him. She's saying in his head, she won't stop.
Right.
So she's in his head and it's not going to stop until he forgets her. Not.
Right.
Until he acknowledges her.
Right. But then
really, really good wordplay there.
But it's 100%. It's peak, beautiful, wonderful, clever wordplay. Then we kind of get back into the fantasy versus reality, because there's the paint a picture for me, boy, where the sky's forever blue. Tell me there is nothing I can't have and nothing you won't do. So again, kind of projecting that want, that like fantasy world where like all is right and they're together. But then it kind of again turns back into like what she's hoping for, which is toss and turn without me, boy, let it hit you cold and hot, which is a great revisit from the tequila, let it hit you cold and hot.
Right.
And it also kind of plays on that idea of when you're playing hot and cold with someone like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So again, insanely clever and brilliant. All my kisses say you'll miss it and you can't forget me. And
oh yeah, I love that image, actually. If we can pause on the kiss.
Yes.
That is such a really good moment where, you know, when you're kissing someone really good and you know that they want more
mm-hmm.
and you know that you're going home, you know at some point you're going home, but you can kind of almost taste it on their lips that they want to keep kissing you. Like, I think that's such a really good moment of capturing a real feeling. And for a song in an album called Emotion, she's so good at giving these one-liner emotions.
Exactly. She really is. And it's like a photograph of that moment. And it's so clear. And the whole chorus is about fantasy versus reality. Yes. Because it's that trying to bring the fantasy into reality. It's all that we could do. And she always brings it back to, I feel it, you feel it. So why don't we do something about it? And it's not... Again, it's very much about her not being passive. Like, she's an active participant and he's also acting in this fantasy. She like seems to know. It's yeah. not like a question of, oh, like maybe he's thinking about me, fantasizing me. Like it's a certainty, which is so confident. Again, you get that sense of power and strength.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a neatly packed out song.
Yes.
And then we launch into the third song. She really packed the hits into the first three songs. Like, the first three songs are like the big hits from this album. This is probably, I think actually this was the big
hit. This was the big hit on the album.
This one was the chart buster. This is I Really Like You. This song, I think the most notable thing about this song is that she literally decided that the music video should be Tom Hanks lip syncing this.
I love that. I love that though.
Which I think was so funny. And then he was like, of course, I love Carly Rae Jepsen, which is literally what his response was. So the music video is really cute in that way. And it's kind of just him going through a morning in New York City in the winter. So it's notable that like at this time, she was still living in New York City. She was living in Soho. And so she was kind of, this is, I think, a little bit of a love letter to New York City, a little bit, as much as it is about an actual person.
Okay. I can see that.
Okay.
I'm skeptic. A little bit skeptical, but
all right, we'll go into it.
Can I read this one?
Okay. Yeah, you read it.
So verse one, I really want to stop, but I just got the taste for it. I feel like I could fly with the boy on the moon. So honey, hold my hand. You like making me wait for it. I feel like I could die walking up to the room. Oh yeah, pre-chorus. Late night watching television. But how'd we get in this position? It's way too soon. I know this isn't love, but I need to tell you something. And then we have the explosion of the chorus. I really, 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 really like you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? I really, 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 really like you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? Oh, did I say too much? I'm so in my head when we're out of touch. I really, 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 really like you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? I'm just going to go through the whole thing. Verse 2.
Go for it.
It's like everything you say is a sweet revelation. All I want to do is get into your head. Yeah, we could stay alone, you and me and this temptation. Sipping on your lips, hanging on by a thread, baby. Then we go back into the pre-chorus, and then the chorus, and then the bridge, which is one of my favorite parts. Who gave you eyes like that? Said you could keep them. I don't know how to act or if I should be leaving. I'm running out of time, going out of my mind. I need to tell you something. Yeah, I need to tell you something. Yeah. And then it ends with the chorus. It's repeated twice. Oh my God.
This song, so here's kind of like, the vulnerability in this song is really unprecedented. Like this idea, because we've all been in that moment where we're late night watching television. Like we're sitting with someone we really have a huge crush on. And what do we say? Do we say we love them? No, we're not dating. We've been dating 2 minutes, but we have like no good words for it. So it's this, I really, 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 really like you. I'm that many really close to being in love with you. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? It's kind of this like anxious.
It's breathless.
I blurted it out. It's breathless. It's breathless, but I blurted it out. And now I wish I could take it back a little bit. I don't want to make you not like me. I don't want to be awkward. Oh, did I say too much? I'm so in my head when we're out of touch, when we're not talking to each other, when we're not touching each other. I'm so in my head. And I want you. Do you want me? Do you want me too? It's this really, I think, authentic moment. Like, who hasn't been there with their big crush?
Right.
And you just really like them so much.
I feel like this is...
But you don't know if
they like
you.
Yeah, I feel like this is the epitome of, like, friends to lovers trope. Like,
definitely.
If there was... This Absolutely. Was any... Or it's either, like, friends to lovers or when you're, like, maybe, like, not sure where things are. Like, either you're friends with benefits or the lines are blurry and it's, like, starting to become more... And you feel like you need to just tell them, you know, this is more than hooking up for me, something like that.
Yeah.
But I she's so talented at being able to capture a feeling through her diction, through the way, through the sounds, through her tone. It has that like really breathless, as like kind of word vomit, very beautiful word vomit kind of feel.
Yeah.
But can we the opening, that I feel like I could fly with the boy on the moon. Like it's just this really it's so swoony. Everything about it is so swoony, and I'm like taken back to being like 16 and gushy and
yes,
and it's
Absolutely.
Not in a cheesy way. It's in this very comforting
no.
like, oh my gosh, I've been there. It's so cute.
Right. It's definitely like this song takes me, not literally because it came out after we graduated, but this song takes me back to those moments where like we would hang out in one of our dorm rooms talking about
Oh my
boys.
Gosh, so many nights talking about boys in our dorm rooms.
That's like all we talked about. But it takes me back to there. And like there's also there's always levels in her music where you have this really relatable, like really commonplace sensation or emotion or even language, and then you have this like high order poetry that if we were in class, like we'd be like sitting there being like, oh my god, I wish I had written that. And for me, the line in this song that is when you noted as well, which is you and me in this temptation, sipping on your lips.
You, I didn't even say it, you saw, you knew it.
Sipping
on your lips. Oh.
What an image that you're drinking in the person through their lips. I just think that is a really, really well done wordplay.
It really is.
Because that's what it feels like.
Or like.
That you're drinking in the person's experience.
Or
when
you're being that jerk and they're talking to you and all you're doing is looking at their mouth and wishing you could kiss it.
Oh my God, that too. And you're hanging on by a thread. Ugh.
It's so brilliant. Like, things you don't even think of.
I just love this song so much.
I do too. And I just want to quick, and yeah, then, the bridge. Can we talk about the bridge, please?
Talk about the bridge.
Who gave you eyes like that? Say you can keep them. So bold. That's like such a bold but cute line.
A great come on line. Yeah,
who gave?
That's
who
like,
gave you eyes?
Did you
like
fall?
That?
Did you get hurt when you fell from heaven?
Yeah.
That's the same pickup line.
But again, if she kind of slows down the speed of her singing and kind of just takes us down for a second to take a, it's like kind of the deep breath of the song where,
right, it's the intimate moment where you're like 2 inches from the face, yes, of the other person, and it feels like the world has fallen out behind you.
Yes, I don't know how to act or if I should be leaving. I'm running out of time. There's still that urgency, and then she's like, I need to tell you something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like she's psyching, she's, this is the psyching up moment. Like everything else is still psyching up, but this is the real like, okay, I have something to tell you kind of moment.
Right.
And then she does it.
Right. And she does
it. She does it.
I really, really,
I really, really like you.
All right. Then we got Gimme Love, our fourth track. So Gimme Love is a little bit more toned down. It's a really good transitional track. It's got some cute moments. It has a nice little drum in, words fly by, drive by your place and stopped again tonight. I know I said that I'm too scared to try, but I still think about you, think about you. I can't lie. I like the feeling how you make me shy. I'll share my secrets and I will not hide. I know that I could be two, one could be two. Give me love, 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 give me touch. Because I want what I want. Do you think that I want too much? Give me love. Give me love. Give me love. Give me love. Fall into me and then. Give me love. Give me love.
You're doing
give
great.
Give me love. Give me love. Give me love. Give me love. Give me please. Because I want what I want, but with you, it's what I need. Give me love. 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 Eyes so bright. You've got a hold of me the whole damn night. I toss and turn, but still I can't sleep right. I should have asked you to stay, begged you to stay. But when I get right next to you, I hear this heartbeat break in two. I feel the earthquake in the room, and so I pray, fall into me, and then repeat of the chorus. A little bit of a bridge, give me love. It's the way we are together. Want to feel like this forever. It's the way we are together. And I never thought I'd say forever. This song is really, to me, a foil for emotion.
Yes, 100%.
Like, so far in this album, we actually have this, like, a little bit of a narrative here. We have boy meets girl at the club, run away with me. A little too much. We're not going to do that. Boy's going to go and toss and turn all night while she's, like, infecting his mind. Then we have, I really like you. I wish we had connected, or I am going to connect. We're right a minute from connecting. And now we have, give me love. I wish we had connected. I don't know why I couldn't step up to the plate. And it's this really, really interesting moment.
Yeah.
Was there anything you wanted to point out?
I'm going to do a hot take and say that I love everything about this song except the chorus. I think that the chorus does a good job of capturing the desperation, but I feel like the verses surrounding the chorus shine so much brighter than the chorus does.
Yeah, it's an interesting chorus choice. I will tell you, she did this in concert. Everyone knew every line. Everyone, and then each "Gimme Love" is slightly different the way she pronounces it and sings it. Like, I was trying really hard not to sing it so everyone could hear the lyrics, but each "Give Me Love" has a little bit of a change to it. But yeah, I would say that, like, the chorus is, to me, more of a, I can't get this out of my head.
Yes. No, you get
and
that.
I can't get these thoughts out of my head. Yeah.
But, like, I love the opener, the first one, very vulnerable. And I also love, like, and you said it, and I was thinking it in my head, the even verse two where she's like, eyes so bright, you got a hold of me the whole damn night. Like, you get that, like, first inflection of, like, real frustration. Like, Jesus, like, can you just, like, get out of my head? Like, I want, and it's like the solution is just being together. And it's the song that's about, like, still having feelings for your ex and, like, giving in to the temptation to just beg for them to come back. Like, all all the oh, yes. There's no more self-control. There's no more self-control. You're now just on your knees begging, like, give me anything. Give me touch. Give me love. Give me begging, please. I want what I want, but with you, it's what I need. Like, that's kind of like the best summation of the song. And as I said, as much as I don't love the chorus, it does a great job of that, of the inflecting, like, the desperation that's clear. Because you don't get that as much in the verses. It's kind of like her saying, you know, this is why I want your love. Like, you're in my head. I can't stop thinking about you. I also love the two lines in verse two. I hear this heartbeat break in two. I feel the earthquake in the room. Right. And so I pray. Like, the heartbeat breaking in two is, oh.
Like, you know you're going to have heartbreak. I think that's such a beautiful way to say heartbreak. It is. It's just that heart, that, like, addition of the compound word heartbeat makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have that heartbeat and you're like, as soon as I let this person into my life again, that beautiful, like, exhilaration of love is going to break.
Right.
And, like, that's a beautiful image.
Also love, and it's okay, super subtle. I want to feel like this forever. It's the way we are together. And I never thought I'd ever say forever. Like, this person has changed her outlook on love. Like, clearly she didn't think there was a forever or the possibility of a forever with someone, and now because of this person she sees that.
Yeah, I love that. It's when it, you know, it does a lot of work, this song, and it's really great.
Yeah.
For the next song, this one is actually the second single off the album, All That, and not the TV show. This is like a really slowed down ballad. It's a very, to me, it's a classic, like, late 90s, early 2000s single solo pop R&B ballad with, like, a little bit of like an 80s drum in the background.
I love this song. I love this song so much. This is one of my, it's not my favorite, but it's up there as one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a really good song.
Sure, I'll read it. So verse one says, I want to play this for you all the time. I want to play this for you when you're feeling used and tired. I want to make the best so you want more. Just let me in your arms. Just let me in your arms. I'll be the magic you won't ever see. You can always rely on me to help you do what you want to do. I want to be the best you've ever known. Just let me in your arms. Just let me in your arms. Chorus. Show me if you want me, if I'm all that. I will be there. I will be your friend. Show me if you want me, if I'm all that. I will be there. I will be your friend. Verse 2. I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. I'll keep my light on, baby. You can always come to me. I want to be the place you call your home. Just let me in your arms. Just let me in your arms. And it goes back into the chorus and then the bridge. Ugh, love the bridge. When you need me, I will never let you come apart. When you need me, I will be your candle in the dark. When you need someone, oh, let me be the one, the only one, and the only one, and the only one. And then it goes into the chorus, then the breakdown, and then it's just more of the chorus. And then it ends on an interesting, I will be there, I will be your friend, just show me if you care. Which brings, like, a little bit of darkness to the vulnerability, because it's clear, and then it makes it clear that this is maybe not reciprocated. But what I love about this song is that she's saying, I will be there, I will be your friend, which is clearly beyond, like, lovers or love. Like, it's the highest tier of love.
Right.
Like,
right.
I will be your friend. I will be the person that you can turn to in your darkest time. Like, this is beyond sex. This is beyond kissing. This is beyond, like, this is the highest form of intimacy. And that is what all that is.
Right. And it's like, there's a lot of frustration in it. It's just let me be in your arms. Just let me in your arms. So, okay. It's no secret that the gays love Carly Rae Jepsen. That, like, the gays love a lot of musicians, But Carly Rae Jepsen has a really specific place where the gays love her, I think, beyond certain other artists. And you could say it's for the bops and the bangers, but to me it's for a song like this, which I've never heard an artist capture unrequited love so perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And have it read so queer and so much like a gay man's experience as this song. This is like maybe not the most popular song of hers, but I would say like, oh no, this is really what it felt like in the early 2000s, like trying to date a straight guy if you were gay. This is what it felt like. You would do anything for that. There was this desperation. There was this, please just like, let me be in love with you. And this desperation to be like, please let someone, let me be, give my love to someone. So I really hear that in this song.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Because very often you would be relegated to the best friend or the close friend.
Oh, yeah.
And so that language reflects to me in that direction.
Thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate I never.
You were there. You were there for it.
I was there for a small chunk of it. Yeah.
But I feel like that's a really good lead-in for the next song, which is, I think, a really, really famous song from this album, if not like a big hit. I love this song.
It's great.
It's Boy Problems.
It's great. I've been there. It's wonderful. You've okay. done this to me. So,
I've done this to you many times. So fun fact about this song and the next song. Both of these were co-written and partially produced by Sia. So we know Sia. We know her most recent two albums that have Elastic Heart and Chandelier on them. But, you know, in 2015, she was doing a lot of writing. So she wrote songs for different artists. Carly is still the lead writer on this song, Boy Problems, but you can definitely hear Sia's influences on it. The intro is actually Sia talking. Listen, just leave or stay, but I'm done with you tonight. Verse one. If you're gonna go, then go, she said to me on the phone, so tired of hearing all your boy problems. If you're gonna stay, then stay, he's not gonna change anyway, so tired of hearing all your boy problems. Pre-chorus. And I know she's right, and I should not be offended. Yeah, I know what it looks like from the outside. I know she's right, and I should not be offended. Yeah, I know what it looks like from the outside, from the outside. Chorus. Boy problems. Who's got them? I've gotten them too. Boy trouble, we've got double. Don't know what to do. I think I broke up with my boyfriend today, and I don't really care. I've got worse problems than I broke up with my boyfriend. I think I broke up with my boyfriend today, and I don't really care. I've got worse problems than I broke up with my boyfriend, yeah. Carly, you gotta let it go, she said to me on the phone. So tired of hearing all your boy problems. It could be the perfect day. He'll just make it rain anyway. So tired of hearing all your boy problems. Repeat of the pre-chorus and the chorus. We have a bridge. What's worse, losing a lover or losing your best friend? What's worse is when you discover you're not good for each other. She's been giving, you've been taking, taking, taking. And we have our chorus and outro. The outro is just boy problems. Who's got them? I've gotten them too. Really just repeating the chorus a little bit. This is like, I mean, how many times have we had this conversation?
So many.
To each other.
Oh my
other?
God.
You
have put me in my stupid place so many times, and I
girl, can't even. I had a breakup not too long ago, and conversation went something like this.
I never told you I'm done with your boy problems.
No, that's true.
No, I'm thinking college when I'm picturing a very specific moment where you got in my face and you're like, you need to stop. and I was like, yes, I do need to stop. And then.
Right. There's a hot steaming relatability in this song. I don't know if we need to dive into the lyrics that much.
I think it's pretty straightforward.
Play on is it's kind of like a little bit of this like playground song. Boy problems.
Got 'em.
It's
very
the
sing song
and the melody.
Very childish.
And it's also very conversational. You get the conversation, the actual dialogue in the song, and then you have the self dialogue, which I think is a really cool moment.
Yeah.
very validating.
It is. And I love the twist that in the bridge, what's worse is when you discover you're not good for each other and you're like, ooh, what? What does that mean? And then she says, she's been giving and you've been taking, taking, taking. So she's owning up to the fact that she is the toxic person, not only in her relationship with her boyfriend, but in the relationship with her friend, right. Which I thought is so was so interesting because on the surface, it's like it is about like a friendship. And she's like, I broke up with my boyfriend, but like I think like what's worse is I think I lost my friend, which you don't hear in songs. It's always like you never hear it's that. True. And I thought like this was such a unique perspective for a song to have. But I also just love that twist, like, surprise, I'm the toxic person.
Yeah, I really liked that. The second song on this track that is supported by Sia is Making the Most of the Night. This one, actually, Carly is listed as the last writer. I'm not sure why, but really crazy, interesting thing about this song. The Haim sisters are listed as writers on it.
Oh, yeah.
So literally, Danielle, Alana, and Este Haim are like not only wrote on this, but I think also sang on it, did backup vocals on it. It's crazy, the collaboration on this song. Like this song, you know, if this came out today, it would be like the hottest track because people would be like, Sia and Haim are on a Carly Rae Jepsen track.
I know.
With such a big deal. And it really speaks to how Carly was so supported in the production of this album by really talented people.
Yes.
This track is a real banger. This was a promotional single, but I think it got lost in the mix with the other lead singles on this album. So this is Making the Most of the Night. You and Me, we've been hanging around for the longest time. I know when you're down, know what you need to get you high. Top down, like the wind through your hair on a summer's night. Outside, all your fears, leave them behind. Here I come now, baby, I'm speeding, and red lights I'll run. But I got you need it, and I'll run to your side when your heart is bleeding. I'm coming to get you, to get you, to get you, oh. I know you've had a rough time, but here I come to hijack you, I'll love you while making the most of the night. I know you've had a rough time, but here I come to hijack you, I'll love you while we're making the most of the night. I know you've had a rough time, but here I come to hijack you, I'll love you while making the most of the night. Eyes wide, like you've never seen the ocean, never seen the tides. No hope. Now you're seeing things that you'd lost sight of. Taking off. Get your hands in the air and you're feeling all right. Gold mines glisten on the skin for you and I. Pre-chorus. And then chorus, we have a bridge. Now, baby, take my hand and don't you cry. I won't let you stay here. I won't let you hide. No more tears. Don't waste another day, another day. Go in and fight. Don't lay down and to die. Come on, get up. You'll make it through okay. Come on, get up. Don't waste another day. Then we have our chorus and then repeat of we're making the most of the night as an outro. This is a very emotionally intense song. The melody does a lot of the work for it. And it's the sort of rushed, kind of the opposite of Runaway.
Oh my God.
It's a, I'm running to you to save you from yourself. I'm going to hijack you. I'm going to take you and steal you and hide you. And we're going to have a good night. I'm going to make sure that you can have a good night. It's to me follows more of the theme of like, you know, it's these two people who like can't figure out each other, but are kind of depending on each other. It's a really, really interesting moment in this album. It's kind of also that like it's halfway through the album. It's a little bit of a turning point, not a big turning point, though.
You already hate me for this opinion, but I think it's just Runaway with Me part two.
I think it's opposite themes.
I get what you're saying, but you get the same things. You even have the callback to Gold, which is in Runaway with Me. So you have the gold, turn the world to gold. We can turn the world to gold. And then gold mines glisten on the skin for you and I. There is the hijack you, but like, I still get the sense like we're going to escape. It's not for this time. It's not for the weekend. It's just for a night. And I will say, I'm not saying it's like a copy. I'm just saying it's more like a sequel or like a part two. And you get the sense that there's definitely like something darker going on with this other person, like that there's like clearly like depression or like suicidal thoughts, like that go on and fight, don't lay down to die, like that we have not gone there before now. There has been no mention of death or crying. It's more like want and desire and fantasy and, you know, we broke up and now I want to get back together. But now there's kind of what you were saying earlier, like there's this sense of urgency that is very much within the song. But that bridge like really nails where the sense of urgency is coming from. Like this person is like very clearly depressed, and Carly's role in this song is to turn their, not maybe not only their night around, but their life around through her care.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually want to leave it there for the next song.
I like that. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Oh, I love this one.
So your type.
So good.
I love this song too. This is such a good one.
It is such a good one. As I said, though, I love her more vulnerable tracks.
This one has such a good... I'm just going to read it. I'll let the audience figure out what's good. I used to be in love with you. You used to be the first thing on my mind. I know I'm just a friend to you, that I will never get to call you mine, but I still love you. I'm sorry. I love you. I didn't mean to say what I said. I miss you. I mean it. I try not to feel it, but I can't get you out of my head. And I want you to miss me when I'm not around. I know that you're in town. Oh, won't you come around to the spot that we met? I'm not the type of girl for you, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm the type of girl you call more than a friend. I'd break all the rules for you, break my heart and start again. I'm not the type of girl you call more than a friend. Verse 2. I bet she acts so perfectly. You probably eat up every word she says. And if you ever think of me, I bet I'm just a flicker in your head. And then we have this beautiful pre-chorus again. We have our chorus again. It's a really interesting bridge. I'll make time for you. I'll make time for you. I love you. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you. I didn't mean to say what I said. I miss you. I mean it. I try not to feel it, but I can't get you out of my head. And then we have our chorus again. Again, like this song to me speaks to that moment and those moments and all that where you just know you're not the right person for this person, but you can't stop how you feel.
Right.
You know that like there is someone out there who has their eye on another person, or you know it would never work. And I think it's so interesting that this song comes right after Making the Most of the Night.
Yeah.
That it comes right after Boy Problems, Making the Most of the Night. So you have this breakup song, Boy Problems, and then you have this Making the Most of this Night, like a desperate attempt to restart something or to save someone from themselves. Yeah. And then you have this harsh morning light next day realization, no, really, like I'm not your type and it's never gonna work out.
It's so sad.
And I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I still love you and I wish I could stop it, but I can't, and I know nothing, I don't know what to do with it.
That I still love you, I'm sorry, I love you is like the best part of the song because it's so real. Oh, and it's so conversational, like you're actively messing up, like I'm sorry, I love you, I mean wait, oh my god, I'm sorry. And it's like very confessional and apologetic and similar to like the opposite of I really like you. It's like I really like you and I'm sorry. Right. Or it's I really love you and I'm sorry because I can't help it. And for once, like at least with I really like you, there's the hope that it's reciprocated. And here, right, there's a knowledge that it is for sure reality. Not.
And the chorus is like this wake up moment. It's like, it's almost as if she's saying, wake the fuck up. I'm not the type of girl for you. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm the type of girl you call more than a friend. So there's a lot there, right? Mm-hmm. It's this wake up call moment. She's asserting that she's going to be herself, whether he likes her or not. And then that I'm not the type of girl you call more than a friend, saying, hello, I'm the girl next door. I'm the girl who is not the beauty that's going to be the love of your life.
She wears short skirts. I wear t-shirts. She's cheer captain.
You know, you keep making that parallel.
I'm on the bleachers.
It's almost as if something is on your mind. It's almost as if something is going to be, you're teasing something for the end of the for the end of the
episode. I have no idea what you're talking about, Jeffrey. I'm not foreshadowing anything.
The other thing this is like really interesting is she doesn't even, in the verse two, she's like not even that bitter. She's like, I bet she acts so perfectly. You probably eat up every word she says. It's not really dissing the other girl. It's saying, you're probably so stupid. You'll listen to anything she says. And if you ever think of me, I bet I'm just a flicker in your head. That I'm so denigrated to you.
Yeah.
In comparison to her.
But what I find interesting is that even through this admission, like, A, I'm not your type. B, I know you don't like me. C, you like somebody else. She's still saying the ultimate give that she would provide, which is, I'll make time. I'll make time for you. I know. Which is the ultimate, like, gift. Because whether or not, like, this girl that he likes doesn't like him back, which is ironic, or they're dating and she's not, in Carly's eyes, is not giving her crush what he should have, that plea, I'll make time for you. I'll make time for you. Like, oh, so, like, after all that, like, talking herself, like, you know, I love you and I'm sorry. I know I'm not your type. I know you'll never see me as anything more. And you like this perfect other person. Despite all that, she's like, but I'll make time for you. And like that, like, that's right. The last ditch effort to, like, maybe make him change his mind, because she's willing to give the ultimate gift, which is her time. And the fact that she'd, like, listen to him and be there for him. Like, you keep getting the sense in these songs that the ultimate place to be in a relationship is a friend.
Right. Absolutely. I think you really summed it up well.
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the next one. Let's Get Lost. So this is another sleeper hit for me on the album. This is another favorite of mine. It's a really smooth transition. It's another ballad. It's a little bit of a departure from our narrative, but let's take a look. I was never one to put my trust in someone else completely. And I was always one to want to up and run when someone said they needed me. But you could be the one. Yeah, you could be the one. Baby, let's go get lost. I like that you're driving slow, keeping my fingers crossed that maybe you'll take the long way home. Let's get lost. I don't want to let you go. Keeping my fingers crossed that maybe you'll take the long way home. Baby, let's take the long way home. Verse 2. I was always shy and careful. I was sure that you would never look at me. Never wanted to discourage. Everything your eyes encouraged silently. Pre-chorus and chorus again. We have a bridge of let's get lost. You want to get lost? Let's get lost. I want to get lost. To me, this is like a really interesting moment in the composition of the album where we recognize a moment of growth where Carly's character is reflecting on how in the past she was so shy and she was so timid, how she was ready to like drop anyone who is a little bit challenging to her. But now she's, I guess, sitting in a car not wanting to be driven home. She wants to get lost. And again, we have this travel imagery like we did in Run Away With Me. Only instead of it being desperate, a desperate escape, it's enjoying the journey. It's a really interesting flip on the narrative.
It's the time. I'll make time for you. The ultimate intimacy is just getting to have more time.
And we're seeing a little bit of growth compared to our last couple of songs where, you know, in Your Type, it's this declaration that it's over. It's this declaration of, I'm going to give you the time that you deserve.
Right.
And in this song, it's when now I'm able to enjoy and cherish the time of a car ride, taking the long way home. It's that simple.
Yeah. And it's reciprocated. You get a sense of reciprocation.
Right. There's a sense of comfort in there that we don't get in other songs. Right. It's a pretty simple one, but it's got a nice melody. And it's got a really nice idea.
Yes.
Okay. So then we have LA Hallucinations.
This is one of the most interesting songs on the album because this
is complete departure.
Do you mind if I read this one? I find that
yeah,
perfect.
You read it.
Okay. I will let the lyrics speak for itself before we do our deep dive. But okay, verse one. Great starter. I remember being naked. We were young freaks just fresh to LA. Never cared about the fake kids. We would write and sing and wear whatever. But money makes your whole world spin till everything is dizzying. And suddenly, I'm like trying not to say this, and I'll try and say this in the rhythm. Planes I'm hopping, cards I'm dropping. No shop can fill me up. There's a little black hole in my golden cup. So you pour and I'll say stop. Planes I'm hopping, cards I'm dropping. No shop can fill me up. There's a little black hole in my golden cup. So you pour and I'll say stop, stop. So take me into your arms again. Shake me from LA hallucinations. Verse 2. Haven't seen the boy in ages. Used to stay all up all night, he and I, filling up each other's pages. But the teeth come out when the camera flashes. And then pre-chorus. We said we'd always be the same, but we lost each other in the game. Cause suddenly, and chorus, and then the bridge, which is great. BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows. What can I say that you don't already know? BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows. If I just lie here, then will you let me go? And chorus. And then the chorus and bridge. It alternates between take me into your arms again. BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows. What can I say that you don't already know? And shake me from LA hallucinations. BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows. If I just lie here, will you let me go? Take me into your arms again. BuzzFeed buzzards and TMZ crows. What can I say that you don't already know? And shake me from LA hallucinations.
Yeah, this is a really
dark song.
Interesting track.
It's so dark.
Yeah, this is definitely like Carly going to LA. That's what she has talked about in the interviews, is that this song is like, she went to LA and she was just like amazed by everything. She told a story in one of these interviews where she was at Justin Bieber's house in LA because, you know, they were friends.
Well, they have the same manager.
You know, he like,
too.
They have the same manager, but he like kind of promoted her when she was on Canada's Got Talent or Idol, Canada Idol. She tells a story as how she was at his house once and she had literally just gotten off the plane to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Tyson was there. She didn't realize it was Mike Tyson, but she asked him if, like, she was like, did those hurt, like, the tattoos on his face? And she was like, I didn't realize it was Mike Tyson. And he was like, yeah. And then he was telling her about how he got all these tattoos, like, it was, like, nothing. So it's this song is, like, all this, there's this, like, background romance that's trying to happen, but it's all this, like, LA crap getting in the way.
Right. And I have to go, because this is the first thing on my mind as I was reading. We have the gold imagery again with the gold cup, except now there's a hole in it. So, like, you have, again, I'm wondering if this is, like, part of the narrative that you were talking about. Like, this is the same person throughout. Or maybe not the same person, but, like, the same, or there's, like, two alternative narratives. It's the one person you can't have because they don't like you, but then there's this other person in this separate timeline or narrative where you're like so close to having them and you feel like you keep missing each other, like missed encounters, right, and stuff. And with this, like, this person, like, before she came to LA, like, they were together, everything was fine, like, or at least they had like a strong connection, and now that she's on the LA scene, it's almost like that love and her naivete and that spirit, right, have been corrupted, and that's like the black hole in the golden cup. And
yeah, and you know, she's spending money.
Yes. But you literally have the imagery, I remember being naked, like, she's literally pure, she's pure, right, going to LA, and now you watch as the song continues, like,
dresses her,
yeah, and how it kind of stains her and stains her relationship, because you have like multiple things going on, right? Like, you have the corruption of her and the corruption of her relationship. That seems to be like a twisted narrative, but what do you have to say about it?
I think it's just a, you know, you can't be famous and in love song.
Yeah.
And I think that's Carly reflecting on the Kiss popularity,
mm-hmm,
of Call Me Maybe, and like how displacing that was for her, because she's a very like down-to-earth person, and before that, you know, she wasn't like big superstar, and she has really deep family and friend connections. So she's not like in it to be famous. She's in it to be able to make music and to make music with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this like brief flight of popularity and fame that came with this, that came with Call Me Maybe. And it gave her some opportunities, but what it did was create this hole that she's not going to be able to live the fantasy of being in love.
Right. And I love the bridge, BuzzFeed Buzzers and TMZ Crows. What can I say that you don't already know? And if I right. just lie here, then will you let me go?
Well, if she doesn't do anything, will they let her go from being famous?
Ooh.
Which is exactly what happened between Call Me Maybe and this album. Was the intervening time the press left her alone. She created her album.
You know,
she created this.
I love that because I just got it because I thought that the U in that bridge was addressed to the boy, but now it's addressed to the BuzzFeed Buzzers and TMZ Crows. I love it. Oh my God. Real time revelation, people. Love it.
That's what the audience comes here for. Okay. So this is a really fun one. The next one, Warm Blood. It's ironic. I don't think it's ironic, but one of the notable things about this track is that Vampire Weekend did this with her.
Vampire Blood.
you know, I have to tell you, like, I tried to look it up before we started, but Tegan and Sarah, she has this like famous quote where she's like, I was banging on Tegan and Sarah's door to get them to listen to one of these songs. And in one of the videos I watched about the making of this album, they show them working on a song with her. I think it was I Really Like You, but I can't remember. But I know this one, Vampire Weekend, a couple of the guys from Vampire Weekend helped her with it.
Nice.
Yeah. And are like doing backup instrumentals. And she has like great relationships with all kinds of musicians. Jack Antonoff from Bleachers. And he just came out with his new album. He didn't work on this album with her exactly. Like, he's not credited, but he did. He was around, but he worked with her on Dedicated, a couple of tracks. So it just speaks to this song and a bunch of her music just speaks to how collaborative an artist she is.
Yeah.
She talks in one interview about how important it was for her to make music writing and recording a like collaborative shared experience with other inspiring musicians. That she never wants to be without the flow of the conversation or the flow of the music making. She's not like an isolated artist. She's a collaborative artist, which I think is really interesting.
It is. I will say though, after all that lovely stuff you said, this song is a skip for me. The one skip on this album.
I'm going to tell you, this is to me, it's technically, this is the second to last song on this album. And I feel like it has second to last song syndrome.
That's fair.
There's a lot of songs on a lot of albums. Second to last song is a soft goodbye. I'll just read through it. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it. I will say I like moments of it.
Yeah.
I've got a cavern of secrets. None of them are for you. Even if you wanted to keep them, where would you find the room? Let down my guard tonight. I just don't care anymore. And I've told 100 lies, but I don't want to tell you any at all. And I cannot control it. The way you make me feel, and you have got me going, spinning in circles around your warm blood, chorus. Warm blood feels good. I can't control it anymore. Sweet one, you should stop me there. And I keep on talking. I would throw in the towel for you, boy, because you lift me up and catch me when I'm falling for you. Verse two. I saw myself tonight, caught my reflection in the mirror. My hands and heart were tied, but I was so scared of almost nothing at all. Repeat of the pre-chorus, the chorus. We have a short bridge of warm blood underneath my skin. Warm blood, my heart is pumping. Warm blood underneath my skin. Warm blood, my heart is pumping. And the chorus, then the bridge again. I literally, not until reading this right now, literally didn't even realize how much vampire imagery is in here.
Same. For real.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she was literally like, oh yeah, you guys are Vampire Weekend. Let's write a vampire song.
Yeah.
Let's write a song that is specifically targeted towards vampires wanting to drink warm blood.
Right.
I think there's that, it's really a meditation on that image of like that hot-blooded moment of attraction.
Yes, that's what I was thinking too.
Where you just give into your desires, which, I mean, what's more vampiric than giving into your earthly desires?
Right.
So this is technically the last song in this album. You and I had a problem with this
album.
We did. Which was, there's like four editions of it. And some of the bonus tracks we really
like. And Spotify
lied. We're
going
to get to what we're doing that
later.
Spotify lied. It lists different albums differently. So we'll do this song, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do with the bonus tracks.
Yes. When I Need You, technical last track of the album. I'll read through it. What if we could go back? We could take the words back. You could take my love back and brush my hair behind my ear. I don't know what you wanted. I tried to be so perfect. I thought that it was worth it to let myself just disappear. Pre-chorus. You come to me in dreams at night. You come to me in dreams at night. I wake up and I see the light. Chorus. Sometimes I wish that I could change, but not for me, for you. So we could be together forever. But I know that I won't change for you. Because where were you for me when I needed someone? When I needed someone... When I needed you, hey. When I needed you, hey. Verse 2. Once upon a time, I thought you were the hero. I waited for you all night. I closed my eyes and slept for years. You kissed me like a sunrise. My feet up to my forehead. I felt it like a goodbye. I'm not myself. Chorus. Interlude. You come to me in dreams at night. You come to me in dreams at night. The bridge. I don't want to work it out. I'm not going to work it out. I don't want to work it out. No, I'm not going to still. And then the chorus. Interesting that she now reverses that she started Run Away With Me, that she started the whole album how she's I'll be your hero and win it. And now this the object of her desire, she wanted them to be the hero. Like, I thought you were my hero. I thought that was a really interesting flip.
It's a really, like, it's a really good ending to this album. And it is the hard ending to this album. The bonus tracks don't really, like, they really aren't the, like, additional tracks. Like, they don't really add to the narrative.
No.
But this song, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful resolution.
Yeah.
Of the relationship in this album. And it mirrors Run Away With Me so well. It's kind of even opposite in terms of melody, where Run Away With Me is this urgent excitement, and When I Needed You is this more, maybe more jaunty, or maybe more like slowed down recall of what everything has gone wrong.
Yeah. And I love how, again, very similar to Emotion, she takes it's her power, this is her strength, like, and you see, right, like a sense of indignancy, like, you weren't there for me when I needed you. It's not only when I needed someone, right, I needed you specifically, and you weren't there for me. So, see ya. There's the resolution.
Yeah. And I love the pre-chorus chorus transition. You come to me in dreams at night. Mm-hmm. And it's almost seductive in that line.
Yes.
I wake up and I see the light. Oh no, I remember now. Sometimes I wish that I could change, but not for me. You.
It's like goodbye to
so
you.
Together.
It's literally like, exactly, goodbye to you by Michelle Branch.
Exactly. But I know that I won't change for you because you didn't earn it.
Because
you didn't respect when I needed you.
Right.
I mean, despite feeling so great in this song, you kissed me like a sunshine, my feet up to my forehead. I felt it like a goodbye. I'm not myself.
Ow.
That's a summation of why this didn't work in a nutshell. I mean, she captured that feeling, that emotion of, you really don't want to give up this relationship. You really don't want to give these things up, but you can't keep them going.
Right, when it's unhealthy, it's the right thing to do.
Oof.
Oof.
I love this. This is a really great song.
It is.
This is a really great album.
Beautiful album.
And so that's our official, like, take on the album.
Yes.
What we now wanted to talk about was, we have a couple of bonus tracks.
Yes.
There are so many bonus tracks that Carly released in 2016, the sort of follow-up album. I guess it's just called an EP.
It is an EP.
You know, I don't know why that is, like, a distinction, because I know that there's literally a distinction, but like it's 8 songs long.
I know.
Emotion Side B, which has so many of my favorites. I love that album so much. It has so many good ones. It has 8 really solid songs that didn't make the cut. And Carly always jokes that she wanted to make this album like 40 songs long, but they wouldn't let her. But some of the songs that didn't make it onto Emotion Side B, but did make it onto the Emotion Deluxe editions, such as Black Heart, I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance, which actually was pretty radio popular, Favorite Color, Never Get to Hold You, and Love Again. So there were a couple of different editions, which we've described already, and it was a little confusing. There was the deluxe edition, which added Black Heart, I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance, and Favorite Color. Then there was a Target edition, which was also a Japanese special release, Never Get to Hold You, and Love Again. And then we have the single, which premiered in 2017. It was the official song of the summer, Cut to the Feeling. This song was released for the ballerina movie, animated movie Leap, which Carly had a voiceover role on. And literally, the way she talks about the song, she says, I didn't think it was going to be a big hit. And this is literally her biggest hit since Call Me Maybe.
It's my favorite Carly Rae song, Alta.
It is my favorite Carly song. And this song, we're going to talk about it in depth, but she kind of wrote it off initially. And then she's like, now I get like inflatable swords thrown at me at concerts because everyone loves this song so much. So what we're going to do is we're going to say which songs of the bonus tracks we think should have made the cut. And then we're going to do the deep dive on one or two of them.
Okay. You go first.
I think Favorite Color should have made the cut.
Agreed.
I really love that
100%.
song. I think it's a really, really good song. I don't know where I would put it on the album. I might put it as the second to last instead of Warm Blood.
Yeah.
I think it does a better job than Warm Blood.
100% same page. I think other than Cut to the Feeling, I would actually say this might be my second favorite Carly Rae Jepsen song.
It's a really great
It's
song.
so the it is a poem. If any of her songs are poems, this is a poem, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a great song. You know, I'm going to tell you,
Okay.
I don't think Cut to the Feeling should be on this
I
album.
hate you. It's a you're
I think it's too
incorrect.
powerful. I think it's a standalone. I think it's one of those songs that is such a single, it will never fit on in composition of an album safely and comfortably. I think if you put Cut to the Feeling on this album, you would have to take away another song. And it really, I don't think fits the composition that well. So why don't we start with Favorite Color and
Okay.
then we'll end on Cut to the Feeling.
Okay.
Do you want to read Favorite Color and I'll read Cut to the Feeling?
Yes, deal. All right. Verse one. Hold on now. This is getting kind of serious. This is getting kind of out of control. Out of control. Slow down now. Breathing heavy when it's just a kiss. This is getting kind of out of my hands. Out of my hands. Pre-chorus. Please don't go. Look real close. Eyes that show, kaleidoscopes, the chorus. When I'm close to you, we blend into my favorite color. I'm bright baby blue, falling into you, falling for each other. When I'm close to you, we blend into my favorite color. I'm bright baby blue, falling into you, falling for each other. Verse two, should I stay? Making love until the morning light, making out like it's the end of the world, and I really want to get it right. But it's getting hard to slow down now. Got me feeling like it's real for sure. This is getting kind of out of my head, I'm out of my head, 'cause, and then the chorus, and then the bridge. Paint me up, me up, me up. You're my favorite color. Paint me up, me up, me up. You're my favorite color. Paint me up, me up, me up. You're my favorite color. Paint me up, me up, me up. Then we go into pre-chorus, chorus, and the bridge. Oh my God.
So, what are your immediate thoughts on it? On this bonus track that shouldn't be a bonus
peak
track?
vulnerability. This is probably her most vulnerable song. I think, like, next to all that, this is her most vulnerable song on this album. And
Yes,
I
absolutely.
love how it turns, like it's just a kiss that obviously evolves into something more, but it's just, the intimacy is so very real to the point where you're so close that you're now one. Like you have these two separate people through intimacy, sex, love, have now become one. And it's just so beautifully said.
Beautiful.
It's so beautifully said. And again, you kind of, it has like a little touch of I really like you, just like a little bit. But I feel like this is I really like you's like big sister. Like this is now after.
Yeah, it's a more mature song.
Yeah. It's
a more mature, more well, you know, like you know each other better. You know each other enough to blend into being this beautiful painting together.
Right.
The color imagery really sings in this
for poem, real. Poem song. I love it. Some peak lines. The pre-chorus, please don't go, look real close. Eyes that show kaleidoscopes. I love that. I also love in the chorus, I'm bright baby blue falling into you. Like there's her color. And I love verse two. Should I stay making love into the morning light? And you even have like I think it's really cute, like making out like it's the end of the world. Like it's such a great image. Like, it's so good. Like how you just never, like it's that moment where you're so entangled. You're like, I'm not going anywhere. Like the world can fall down around me. We're going to just keep kissing. It's great. And I love that paint me up, me up, me up. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful
song. Such a beautiful song.
And the melody is carries you away.
It does.
It just transports
you. I would just argue, as you and I were talking about, that this totally needed to not be a bonus track. This should have just been on the album. We should have ditched Warm Blood for this song.
I mean, to me, this is a much more satisfactory song.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Now Cut to the Feeling.
Cut to the Feeling.
The song is insane.
It's so insane.
It's such an insanely good song. Like I truly don't think we can capture the essence
reading
of the song.
It's like reading from the dictionary, but please, if you're gonna go listen to any
listen to this.
Any Carly Rae Jepsen song.
This is it.
This is the Carly Rae Jepsen song.
The theme of this song is utter and complete excitement.
It is.
I had a dream, or was it real? We crossed the line this time. I've been denying how I feel. You've been denying what you want from me. Talk to me, baby. I want some satisfaction. Take me to the stars, just like, I want to cut through the clouds, break the ceiling. I want to dance on the roof, you and me alone. I want to cut to the feeling. Oh, yeah. I want to cut to the feeling. Oh, yeah. I want to play where you play with the angels. I want to wake up with you all in tangles. Oh, I want to cut to the feeling. Oh, yeah. I want to cut to the feeling. Oh, yeah. Verse two, cancel your reservations. No more hesitation. This is on. Can't make it stop. Give me all you've got. I want it all or nothing. Nowhere in between. Now give your everything to me. Let's get real, baby. A chemical reaction. Take me in your arms and make me And we have a repeat of the chorus. The bridge, which I think is amazing. Come on, take me to emotion. I want to go all the way. Show me devotion and take me all the way. Take me to emotion. I want to go all the way. Show me devotion and take me all the way, all the way. All the way. Then we have our chorus and outros. I want to cut to the feeling repeated.
Woo!
I mean, this song is just so exciting. The moments that I really like are some more of the wordplay. I want to play where you play with the angels. Like, what a fucking beautiful line. That you want to join this, like, person who you think of as angelic, as, like, someone who hangs out in the literal sky. And then I want to wake up with you in all entangles. Like, you're waking up after having a great night. And, I mean, the song is, like, very thinly veiled about sex.
Oh, for sure.
And it's really beautiful. Line. It's like, we're finally here together. We're finally so happy and so excited to be with each other. It finally feels amazing. I love this song so much.
I love this song so much. It so much.
Never fails to cheer me up.
It's like pure sugar and adrenaline all in one song.
Right. Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
So when I saw her in concert, she played a lot of songs from Emotion, like two songs from Emotion Side B, a lot of songs from Dedicated, because that was the album she was touring for. She did an encore her two encore songs were Let's Get Lost and Cuts of the Feeling. Okay. So she ended on from two songs. The song from Dedicated that she ended on was Real Love, which is a beautiful song.
Yes.
And then she ended, she came out, did Let's Get Lost. Everyone went insane. And then she did Cuts of the Feeling. She like didn't even egg anyone on. She literally like the music started. Everyone insane, bonkers, screaming. Someone threw like an inflatable sword at her and she was like walking around cutting with it. It was so crazy.
Love it.
So crazy. She was electric in concert.
I need to see her in concert. I really, really do.
Yeah, she really tore the roof down. And let me tell you, I was up in the balcony. Every single person knew every single lyric.
I can see it.
It was crazy. And all of these songs, every single song that she sang, everyone knew every lyric. And everyone was standing the whole time. No one sat down. They were floored for Carly. It was booked, packed, Hammerstein Ballroom.
Love her.
Any other thoughts on the album?
Just, again, how I feel like not a lot of people I know. I feel like I can talk to you about this album, but anyone else, they're like, oh, yeah, that girl who did Call Me Maybe. I'm like, no, she's more than that.
No.
She is more than that.
It's, you know, there are certain artists that really have their fingers on the pulse of like the millennial.
She gets it.
Of what it's like to be like, someone like us. And she so gets it.
She so gets it.
She gets it on the real level. And, you know, when I listen to her other albums, including like her two most recent albums, Dedicated and Side B, like they are still like this. They're still these really intimate portraits of different aspects of love life.
Yes.
She is obsessed with figuring out love life and figuring out these emotions.
I love it.
And I think it was super ballsy of her. It was incredibly, she had a lot of chutzpah to claim the word emotion as the title of her album. To be able to capture a spectrum of emotions related to love life. And, you know, I always think about Pitchfork rated this as like a 7.4 when it came out. And I always think about that and think, how could you say that?
Pitchfork
Don't say anything about Pitchfork.
Okay.
I don't want to get sued.
I don't think it's literally an opinion. We're allowed to have opinions.
I guess so.
I'm just going to say I sometimes feel like Pitchfork tries too hard to be like edgy. Like
Or hipstery.
Like it's not. These great albums are actually not that great.
Yeah. This one, though, I would say is like quintessential, like millennial music. This will go down as one of the most important albums of our generation. One of the best ones of our generation.
I 100% agree.
So we're closing the book on emotion. I don't think I have much else to say about it, except that I love it. And it means so much to me, this album. I have the 5-year anniversary vinyl from this album in pink. It's really lovely.
Yeah, I need to get it.
And I have some Carly merch, actually. I don't have merch from a lot of musicians, but I have Carly merch because I love her so much. She's apparently recording, so she may be dropping an album soon.
I feel like she's constantly recording, to be honest.
She has like a backlog. She has like a vault of like literally like hundreds of songs.
Yeah.
And apparently, in one interview I saw for the Dedicated album, she said she wrote like 6 or 7 songs to Troye Sivan that just neither of them liked. So this is who Carly Rae Jepsen is. She'll just like sit down with an artist and write a bunch of songs with them. And she has written for other people. So she's always writing and recording.
Mm-hmm.
But her next live performance is going to be at New York City's Governor's Ball in September.
Right.
I'm hoping I get to see her. COVID willing.
Oh my gosh. Everything's so in the air. There's other people I also want to see who I'm like afraid to buy tickets for. Cause I'm like, I feel like by the time I'm supposed to go see them, they're going to reschedule it.
Why don't you tell us about our next one?
Oh my God. So
I know you're excited. I don't know if anyone could figure it out.
Okay.
But
so our next album discussion is going to be on Taylor Swift's 1989. Oh my God.
Oh, big surprise.
Big surprise. Oh my God. But
it's not like we weren't referencing it the whole episode.
But I feel like a lot of times, especially when reading about this album, because 1989 came out in 2014 and Emotion came out in 2015. So I feel like Taylor Swift, like when she got to 1989, like 1989 was so everywhere. It was everywhere for so long. And I feel like as much as like Emotion was also everywhere, like 1989 was just so prevalent.
1989 was like the unbeatable.
It was the absolutely unbeatable.
It was like people, this is like that, I think, I don't know from Taylor Swift, but I would say that's the definitive Taylor Swift album.
Yeah, when most people think of Taylor Swift, they think of this album. And now yeah. Folklore, because she just topped that too. She topped 1989 with Folklore.
That's another episode.
That's another episode. But when I was trying to think of what we could talk about or what album we could talk about after Emotion, I was like, I feel like this was the only one that made sense was 1989. Right, 'cause
they really talk to each other.
They really do speak to each other. So, as I said, Taylor Swift is my girl, capital MG, my girl. And I'm so excited to finally do a deep dive on 1989.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned. Thank you all so much for listening to us and sticking with us. Please follow us on Instagram at Read Between the Tracks, and I sometimes post fun little bonus content on our it's
usually embarrassing pictures of me.
No, it was one embarrassing picture of you, and I didn't even think it was that embarrassing. It was you and Chris, and I thought it was fun and adorable. For our Nirvana episode, I posted a picture of Jeffrey and Chris Bontempo, our guest speaker,
partying in the dorm room.
It was our last night before graduation.
I know. I was drunk.
Well, it was. Weren't we all? It was fine. I was so surprised that. And if mom and dad are listening to this, real sorry. I'm surprised that like none of us went to graduation. Like I was not hungover. Graduation.
Speak to yourself. Speak for yourself. Sorry, mom. But I think you knew that. Speak for yourself.
No, I was fine.
I did like a shot before I went.
Oh, hair of the dog.
I remember, I think in that photo, the song that was playing was a Carly Rae Jepsen song.
I thought it was Fat Bottom Girls.
It was Fat Bottom Girls.
It was.
You're
right. It was Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
It was Fat Bottom Girls. We were all singing that.
Yes.
But I remember having Carly on that playlist.
Yeah. No, Carly was on all of your playlists. Ugh. Anyway, we're going down college
memory road. Because I'm turning 30.
Now I'm turning 30. Bo Burnham.
Oh no.
No.
Can't go into that.
No, we can't.
Can't talk about Bo in this show.
No.
All right. So we're gonna let you guys go.
Thank you.
That's enough.
Thank you all so much for listening. We love you all, and we will catch you guys on the flip side. Bye.